Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
We are really in the thick of it now. I mean, first we got Astral Chain, then we got Daemon X Machina, then we got a whole lot of things for TGS, then we got to get ready for Luigi Smash 3.
You forgot Link's
my
Awakening.
Wallet can't take much. And Link's Awakening,
Thank you.
I'm just honestly like, my wallet can't take it. My wallet can't take it. And plus, I got New York Comic Con I got to worry about next month, too.
Yeah, that is a problem. Also joining us is a problem. I mean, a person named Tellius.
Whoa, that was unnecessary. How dare you, sir?
Hey, I'm going to be savage today. I'm not going to lie. I had something happen before the podcast, and Will knows all about it. I'm going to be so full savage today.
That's all right. Let it out.
Be prepared.
I'm not offended that I'm not in the circle of trust. I'm not. It doesn't upset me at all.
You were late, so deal with it.
I was on time.
You wish.
Like, by like 10 minutes after on time.
Well, anyway, despite this being it feels weird because, of course, last week we had the Nintendo Direct, which was, you know, the highlight of our weeks and technically our months. And now we're, you know, in a little bit of a slow week, and yet Nintendo finds ways to entertain us. And so we're going to get to it today, including looking at Nintendo's future. But first, what have been playing? I'll go first because last week we dedicated basically this segment to just talking about Astral Chain, which I'll get to. But I also wanted to talk about how Pokemon Masters is. I did get a chance to play it. I haven't played it as much this week because I've been doing a lot of work and for various other things. And of course, finishing up my Astral Chain review, which was done within 2 weeks of the game actually releasing. Moving on. And so I did get a chance to play Pokemon Masters. And though I've only, I would say maybe 2 hours into it, maybe. It's fun. It's not something that I feel like it won't absorb my life like Fire Emblem Heroes did when it came out, but it's definitely engaging. There is just something fun about seeing Brock and Misty talking with Cynthia and seeing Rosa and Barry interacting like they've known these people all their lives and so on and so forth. And there's like side stories to the characters that you get to know. Summoning the characters is actually kind of fun. And unlike Fire Emblem, you can't summon the same person twice, but don't hold me to that. Again, I've only played it for 2 hours. Battles are tricky. There is a challenge to them, just like Fire Emblem Heroes. And like I had a boss fight with Barry and I knocked out his cohorts because it's 3v3, remember? And I knocked out his cohorts easily. Then all of a sudden, like, his Snivy or whatever was just OP. I'm just like, I'm doing damage after damage. And I'm like, why isn't this thing burning? You know, I even have its weakness type-wise. And it's just like, it's not dying. And so that shows it's going to be a challenge, which I appreciate. Stylized, it looks good. It feels like a Pokemon game in its own way. The region feels special. The stories are very well laid out. And there's, like, story chapters. There's battle chapters. And the idea of, you know, picking your own team is really fun. Like, right now, my team is me, Brock, and I believe Rosa. But I'll swap out Misty if I need her. And, you know, leveling up. My first summon was a character from, I believe, the Sinnoh. It was either Sinnoh or Unova Elite Four. And I completely forgot about the character. But then I learned about the character. I'm like, oh, this is actually a pretty cool guy. So, that was a really fun experience. So I look forward to diving back into it probably this weekend when I'm like not spending time in Astral Chain or binging something on Netflix or doing the Tempest Trials, which obviously I've been doing. And so it's fun. It's not the best Pokemon game ever. I know that Pokemon Go is still going to be infinitely more appealing to some than Pokemon Masters, but you know, 10 million downloads in the first few days for Pokemon Masters shows that somebody wants to play this game. So that's pretty cool. Outside of that, obviously, I've been doing Astral Chain. I do have my review up. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5, which seems to be a trend for Pokemon or for Nintendo games.
You give a lot of games 4.5s out of 5s.
I did that for Fire Emblem. I did that. I think I gave Yoshi a 4. Don't hold me to it. It's
I think
been
you did
a while.
Give Yoshi a 4.
Well, yeah. Yoshi was kind of a lower rank, yeah, if I recall.
Yeah. Again, it's a great game. I truly loved it. Its battle system was my biggest worry, but it won me over. There are still some things I don't like about it, but 90% of it is fine, which, you know, that's better than a lot of other games out there. The story was compelling. I mean, leave it to Platinum to just... There's a twist, like, third act just completely threw me for a loop. And I actually predicted it 5 seconds before it was revealed just because of how they set it up. But I would never have even thought about that, you know, an hour beforehand. And so that was really a lot of fun. And even though it did kind of have a Fire Emblem Three Houses-esque kind of ending, and I'll leave it at that, it didn't ruin the experience. And I'm in the post-game content right now, which is thin, but I just started with it because I did my review, I stepped away just so I could clear my head for a while, and I had work to do. So, you know, I look forward to seeing what that's all about. But this is a really fun game. If Bayonetta is even, like, you know, partially this quality, which you know it will be, it's going to be an awesome title. And hopefully, we hear from Bayonetta 3 soon. Soon, Platinum Games, soon! And, but yeah, the game is fun. Highly recommend it. We're going to be talking about it a little bit later in terms of its sales, but this is definitely a top-tier Nintendo Switch title, so I definitely recommend it.
I still haven't picked it up yet, and I definitely need to. It's just there's so much else going on, and I've been really, really busy, so I haven't gotten a game a ton this week. But I did start Celeste Chapter 9. I believe it might break into three parts, so I beat the first part. And don't hold me to that. There might only be two parts, but it took me about an hour to get through it, and I believe most people are saying it takes about 3 hours. So I would assume that there are three parts to it. And it's just, there's never been a game that's more satisfying to overcome, because the challenge is immense. I've died, I'm sure, hundreds of times, especially because I didn't replay the whole game, so I'm rusty, in addition to these being the hardest levels they've ever created, according to the creator. Although I will say, I think some of the seasides may have been a little bit harder, at least in the first part of this, but we'll see how things go from there. The way it teaches you its mechanics and then has you master them is just brilliant, and it's quick. You understand, the way it's built makes it so intuitive to learn. There's a couple new things in this one. There's a puffer fish that I think is the first new thing that they add, that if you hit it underneath, it'll explode and launch you. If you hit it on the top, you'll bounce off of it. And you have to kind of use these and hit them at creative angles to nail these really, really tight jumps. And it took me, I don't know, the first two or three times I approached it, I couldn't figure out exactly how it worked. If I hit it at the bottom, I didn't understand that was going to make it blow up compared to hitting it on the top. But quickly you figure it out. And before you know it, you're making these just insane leaps over ridiculous chasms that just seem impossible. But then you overcome it, and it's like, wow, I could do that three more times in a row, no problem. And it's an unbelievable cycle. And there's never been a game for me that's more satisfying to complete. Failure, when you fall, it's not a punishment. I mean, I've talked about this in the game before. You're immediately reset. The music doesn't stop playing. There's no, oh, you lost a life. It's just, all right, you failed, try again and use what you've learned to come at it. Another really cool mechanic in this one is like a parachute, like jellyfish. I don't even know what to really describe it as. If it's something obvious, that's like my greatest fear, is that this parachute like jellyfish is actually an obvious item. But if you boost into it, it will give you a little lift. If you boost upwards into it, you have to catch it, and then it'll give you an extra hop. And then, of course, it's a parachute, so you'll float down slowly. And it just creates these really interesting puzzles where you have to try to figure out where you can land, what order you have to go after certain parts of the rooms with. Like, there's some with keys that you have to find, and you have to figure out, okay, this is the route I'm gonna take. And as is always was the case with the base game, there's multiple ways to approach a lot of these challenges. I watched one player beat a room that I had just finished that took me a long time, and he approached it a totally different way than I did. It seemed a lot smarter the way he did it, but still my strategy worked, and I was able to clear the room. The story is it's very different than the main game, I think, which is good. The main game was a complete story. The characters are returning. The title Farewell obviously has significance. It's Farewell of the Game, but also ties into the story, which I won't spoil. The very first second of the game, I was like, oh my god, no! It was devastating. I was shocked. But It does go in some predictable ways, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I guess this is a gameplay thing, so I don't really feel terrible spoiling it. Right away, Badalyn leaves you for a reason, and it's not what you would expect, but she disappears. So I kind of expected that they would strip you down from your superpowered state to make these challenges even greater, and they do. And it creates even that, just there are some really funny moments in the, I've laughed more than I've been emotional during this story. There's a scene where they teach you a new mechanic. You walk up to a PC and it basically is like, it gives you the happy talk to Spider-Man in Far From Home, where it's like, your friends have left you, your back's against the wall, what are you gonna do? But there's like some good humor mixed into it. It's pretty funny. Some good battling jokes in there. The game is wonderful. I'm really enjoying it. This is super duper hard. But if you haven't played Celeste in a long time or haven't played it at all, me telling you for the 1900th time to play it probably is going to be what breaks you. But I'll tell you anyway, for the 1900th time, you really should play it. It's phenomenal. And I haven't gotten to try Maddening yet for Fire Emblem Three Houses on a different note. We'll talk about that releasing more in the news segment. But I've heard that that is also super challenging, and I am so ready for it.
Naruto. And before I go into what I have been playing, Todd, don't you want to give a quick shout out to a certain special someone who's been listening to our podcast?
I do not, because I don't want to jinx that they will not be listening. And if they are listening, they know our intent, and I will let their actions speak for themselves.
Understood. But yeah, just so you know, we appreciate all of our audience listening to this podcast. So again, thank you very much for listening to our banters and fun adventures here in this podcast.
Yes.
So, and on my side, as again, I have been more or less trying to been juggling so many games. Astral Chain has also been like, I'm currently reach up to that point after you, which your sister becomes the Black Legion. So I'm kind of a little after.
Spoilers.
File 9 or something of that sort. Yes. And yeah, overall, I'm just, like, really, like, I'm just trying to, like, do every single thing. But there's one thing I really don't like is, like, the balancing game with the motion controls. Like, I try to do this thing, especially with those boxes and ice cream. It's, like, the Platinum Games, like, I get you were trying to innovate it, and it's possible. But why the heck would you incorporate balance controls in, with ice cream boxes? It's, like, that is the most nightmarish thing ever.
I hated those mini games. It was the ice cream. There was boxes later on, and it's just like I'm trying to balance it. And then I went from using like the actual motion controls to just using the joysticks, and it worked so much better. And even then, it was faulty. I'm like, what the frick, dude?
Yes, that's one thing I can't help but question. I mean, Platinum Games, you do some great things, but sometimes you also do some questionable things. So yeah, Astral Chain got me hooked, and actually for me, I've actually got back into playing Catherine Full Body. And I gotta say, like, the remix levels of Catherine, like, it really makes the game much more fresh if you already played the original game. And going through these puzzles is like, ugh. Like, if you love your puzzle games, then Catherine is definitely, the original Catherine or Catherine Full Body is definitely a good title to pick up for like the other systems, either PC or on PS4 and Xbox. But yeah, Catherine Full Body, definitely a fun puzzler if you want to they try it out. And naturally been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and again just basically grinding up my orbs and all that. But one thing I gotta give props to is that new addition to that little rank system, because like now you can actually earn some extra orbs or even 5-star heroes into your barracks in your party, because if you do like certain objectives. So there's a nice little thing to add, get a bit more orbs and extra 5-star heroes. So props to you, Fire Emblem Hero. Props
yeah,
to you.
I got a Ninian for the first time. I did not have Ninian, and she was part of the rank ups. And so I got her, and I was just like, finally, I got Ninian. So it just felt good, you know. And of course, getting the extra orbs is the next banner is coming out on the 19th, the next new heroes banner. So I've got like 200 orbs now, so I'm ready. I'm ready.
And overall, yeah, just kind of a game, like trying to juggling all these different games. I mean, Astral Chain, again, I just want to try to go in S plus as best as possible. I just really hate it. Like, just a quite minor gripe is that in certain missions, like when you think you're doing so well, like you just got like kind of short, just a little bit short to being and only getting an S rank instead of an S plus rank when you feel like. And there'll be certain times when you fight boss fighters, like you did so horribly, you still get an S plus rank. It's like, okay, how the heck did I manage to go and perfect this and not this thing? Especially like the flying enemies. Like, yeah, the ranking system is good. You can't help but wonder what you do right and wrong in Astral Chain. So yeah, that's my little feedback.
Yeah, no worries. Also, Astral Chain is not just good because of its combat and story, but just because of the oddities, like the balancing mini games. And then there's the fact that you can save cats, because of course you can. And then if that wasn't enough, you get experience points for finding bathroom stalls and going in them. I did not know that until like file 10, where I finally found one, which I wasn't even looking for it. I was just like, what is that? And it's like, oh, go to the bathroom. I'm like, sure, why not? And then it gave me experience points, and I'm like, okay. And then I found this article saying, like, find all the porta potties in Astral Chain. And I'm just like, oh gosh, dang it, Platinum. I should have known. I do have
From
to
porta potty,
I do
yeah,
have
the
to ask,
porta
and I meant
potties.
stop it. I meant to ask you this last week, Will. Who's your favorite character in Astral Chain?
Oh, that's actually pretty tough, actually. Like, obviously, like, of course, there is your protagonist sister or brother, and then that protagonist. So that's not a bit of a choice. But a lot of people love the protagonist characters. But for me, if I had to like choose a supporting character, ooh, I'm gonna go have to go Alicia. Alicia's pretty. It's just like that baller. Just like she kicks a whole lot of butt. She kicks a whole lot
She
of
does.
butt. And plus the fact that she's voiced by Elizabeth Maxwell, who also does Urbosa in Breath of the Wild. So fun fact out there. So that's I just really like
Fascinating.
Alicia really much. So yeah, Elizabeth Maxwell. So props to you, Elizabeth Maxwell, for the great job well done. Yeah.
Olive.
Oh, Olive? Really?
I like Olive. She's got pink hair.
Oh.
You were expecting a more deep answer. No, she's got pink hair. No,
That's
okay.
it.
No, of course not. She's very kind. In a later chapter, she really shows her emotions, and I really like it. She's not afraid to step up for you and reach out to you to make sure you're okay, and that kind of loyalty is very appealing to me. And she's got pink hair. So, moving on. I'm actually surprised you didn't say Marie.
Marie, I mean, granted, again, I love that she's the fact that she's voiced by Cassandra Lee Morris, who also does Lin Li Kuei in Xenoblade X and as Morgana in Persona 5, which I don't know, she is definitely getting the role of that natural cat lady person. But
Don't you mean
funny enough that
dog?
she's also the mascot of
There
Lappy
you
as
go.
the mascot. But yeah, because I mean, Marie, I mean, she's pretty cool. I mean, the fact that she brings you all these different oddities, especially that one Lappy mini game, that retro mini game where they
That
give
was
up
so
balloons.
hard. So
Really?
hard.
I kind of knew it the first time, so I had no
Well, I did
problems.
fine once I got it, but it was just like, it's like man, woman, or child. How am I supposed to tell? They all look the
Color-coded.
same. I know that eventually, but when you first see them, you can't tell man, woman, or child just by red, blue, and yellow. You had to like spam, and then eventually I got it and I got a high score, but whatever.
But yeah, Marie's pretty cool overall, and I just kind of find like, especially once you get the Iris abilities to scan all the details of any character you scan, like yeah, Marie is definitely one of the more interesting characters, especially in her bios.
I'll talk to you more about that later. Anyway, we do have a good bit of news to talk about tonight, so it's time to go down the warp pipe. And starting it off, we have some very recent news. It just came out like a few hours before the podcast recorded, which is the August NPD numbers. And we can confirm that the Nintendo Switch is once again the best-selling hardware platform of the month and is the best-selling hardware platform of the year still. Year-to-date sales said that software has actually increased 1% to 3.1 billion. Yes, we've got a 1% increase, ladies and gentlemen, and it's basically attributed to the Switch, so you're welcome. And Yeah, that's fine. So not surprising. Again, it was, July had Fire Emblem at the end, so that carried over into August, and then Astral Chain came around, which Astral Chain was the only new release in October to crack the top 10, and in fact, it was at number 10 on the list. But then again, it came out on the 30th, so you have to wonder how many sales were in the first few days. So, and digital sales were not included. Also, we know that it was number one in the UK, it was number two in Japan upon release, so we're expecting good sales of when we.
It only sold, I believe I saw an article that said 34K, but that was physical in Japan. So with the vouchers, I'm sure it sold pretty well, like Fire Emblem Three Houses did. I'm sure it received a nice bump from those.
I'm still expecting it to sell 1 million at least.
I'm not right now, based on just the initial reports, but. It could.
It could. So, but still, I mean, it's clearly, I think Platinum knows something because they made this art piece saying thanks for playing Astral Chain, and you don't do that unless you know the game is selling well enough, because clearly that means that someone's playing it. We would hope. Anyway, so very good time for Switch owners, and Fire Emblem Three Houses apparently was the top selling game in August 2019 for Switch anyway.
Did
So
it.
yeah, so that's still doing well, and if by now I'm pretty sure it's the best selling Fire Emblem game, but don't quote me on that yet. Numbers still have to be released. And let's see, just checking out the top selling games of the year, and top is Mortal Kombat 11, followed by Kingdom Hearts 3, Madden NFL 20, The Division 2, that's unsurprising, Anthem, but that we all know what happened to that. A little game called Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and Resident Evil 2. Oh, that's fascinating. Smash Bros. Ultimate in 2019 has sold more than Resident Evil 2. Some game called Grand Theft Auto 5. Never heard of it. Red Dead Redemption 2 and Days Gone. Man, some of the games are on here. Whatever.
Yeah, right. There's very varying, or they vary a lot in quality.
Yeah.
I was Today is National Video Game Day, the day that we're recording,
Yep.
and that made me think about my favorite games of all time, and I had to put Ultimate in the top 10. I have to. I think
That's fair.
Ultimate, the joy of, as Sakurai has said, bringing all the universes together, in addition to phenomenal gameplay, it's just such a special game.
I'm not sure what my top 10 would be. I think I know I can at least do my top 5. And obviously, Path of Radiance is on there. Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is on there. I'd probably do Kingdom Hearts. I'd probably just merge 1 and 2 because they both are very special to me.
That's cheating.
Okay, fine. Kingdom Hearts. Fine. Kingdom Hearts 2. It
Squid
had
were
Tron in it.
cheated.
Fine. Kingdom Hearts 2 because it had Tron in it. You're welcome. Twilight Princess, obviously, because that's my favorite Zelda game. Pokemon. I probably have to go Pokemon Crystal because that's my favorite. I always like that one. And gosh, see, I can't even go beyond that, I guess. Probably Sly Cooper 3. That
I mean,
was
that
a
was pretty
great.
good for the top of your head.
Yeah, so, but yeah, like, it's funny because it's National Video Games Day and I've been working all day, so I honestly
Yeah,
haven't played anything all day. I will by the end of the night, I promise you that, because I'm at least going to be playing Fire Emblem Heroes. But yeah, it's interesting to think about, this being a National Video Game Day and, the games that help define us and all that. Like C2E2, the con that I go to every day, they posted about, like, what was your first gaming experience? And mine was Wario Blast for the Game Boy, and I still vividly remember playing that game and loving every single minute of it. Being Wario, we got to be Bomberman because he was in the game. I remember putting it into the SNES cartridge, the Game Boy port, and putting it on the big screen just so I could play it there, and it was so much fun. And now here we are doing a Nintendo podcast. So we've all come a long way.
like that's kind of the funny thing regarding to like today. I still remember like back in the day when I was introduced to Star Fox back in the SN old SNES, and heck, even Duck Hunt on the original NES is like it's just kind of interesting how far we've come since the 90s.
Yeah,
It's like wow.
or the 80s.
Right.
And I think, looking back at it, there's one thing that really sticks out in my mind. And with the NES coming out in 1983 in the United States and now being 2019, after 36 long years, The dog is still mocking us. He's still there, laughing at us. It's Smash Brothers and beyond. That dog will be the death of us all right? The dog is still mocking us. Okay.
Well, don't worry. As long as we have Banjo now we can go and speed him up all the time in Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Exactly.
This is true. This is true. I feel relieved. Thank you, Will. All right, so from happy memories of our past to a very curious thing that's coming in our near future, Nintendo, after their latest Nintendo Direct last week, teased a announcement of a brand new peripheral for the Nintendo Switch, and it felt very Wii-esque because it felt in the same vein of like the Nunchuck and the Wii Fit board. And now we have the official details. It is called Ring Fit Adventure. It is coming out October 18th. And it's going to incorporate, it's going to take your Joy-Cons from the Switch and you're going to put them into a new accessory that'll turn into, quote, real-world movement and in-game actions in a quest to save the world. So here's the full announcement. I'm just going to read it all so there's no misinterpretation. Okay, that's a very long press release. Never mind. I'm going to read parts of it. Parts of it. I thought it was three paragraphs. It's like 10. All right. It's called, it's called a Ring Fit Adventure. And it, quote, a new type of adventure game is headed to the Nintendo Switch system on October 18th. One incorporates fun accessories that turn real-world movement into in-game actions on a quest to save the world. Nintendo just released a video. You can look at it online. In Ring Fit Adventure game, players explore an expansive world, battling enemies along the way using real-life exercises to perform in-game attacks. The new Ring-Con and leg strap accessories that are included with the game respond to players' real-world movements, allowing the game to turn them into an in-game actions, like jogging in place to move your character through the world using the attached leg strap, or squeezing the ring con and turning that strength exercise into powerful attacks. By playing the game daily, players can regularly work out various parts of their bodies. With additional minigames and workout routines, Ring Fit Adventure is a fun exercise for players of various skill levels and lifestyles, end quote. So, yeah, basically it's another Wii Fit board, but with rings! Which you should like, Tyler.
Yeah, I do appreciate the Sonic homage, for sure. But this, first of all, we have to talk about the psychopaths that were selling this product to us. I know that might sound mean to call them psychopaths, but if you look at the picture, look at the thumbnail of these poor souls, as Sakurai would say, that were selling us this product. They look clinically insane, I would say. The one guy very well could have won the role of Joker had they looked beyond Joaquin Phoenix, for sure. Now, that aside, the game looks interesting. Like, there's a shocking amount of effort that they put into the design of the actual game. Like, the backgrounds are kind of nicely detailed. Like, low-key better than Pokemon.
that might be
a stretch, but there's thought out battle mechanics of like doing exercises in a certain rhythm to do extra damage or to block attacks. Like there's legitimate thought into this game. It is just so convoluted, I think, that it's gonna be a hard sell. That ring, I don't know anybody who's gonna want to buy that ring.
Yeah, like my first impressions of it is like, okay, they're really trying to go through this thing again. And again, we had the Wii Fit board, we had the Bounce Beam. That means, granted, the whole niche of fitness games on the Switch is, like, if anything, barren. So Nintendo's basically trying to really try to hook us into the whole thing. I mean, one, I actually am legit curious. I kind of want to try that just for myself to see what the experience is. I mean, heck, I bought the Wii Fit Bounce board back in the day, so I mean, heck, incorporating fitness, I mean, definitely gets people moving, so at least it does that job. I mean, it's also to the point that, like, I need to actually play it first to really get it. But the fact that it's, like, this thing itself is $85, which is pretty much the same price as the Joy-Con, I mean, Nintendo Labo kits is, like, kind of a bit of a stretch. But again, like, $90, I think the Wii Fit board was also $90, so it isn't as expensive, but it's still pretty up there. So it's basically a bit of like actually trying it. And who knows, maybe it could be fun. Who knows?
Yeah, and never forget, as weird as Wii Fit was, that thing sold like hotcakes. All right, that was like one of the best-selling things on the Wii. No joke, people got it, and it's just people like the idea of exercise, and the Wii allowed that in multiple ways. And the Switch is popular, and there's definitely casual gaming fans out there. So in theory, Ring Fit Adventure could work? Question mark.
No. Well, here's the thing. Wii Fit, and
Oh.
you're right, Wii Fit was one of the top-selling games on the Wii, but we have to remember that came out when motion gaming was a big deal. The Wii was a casual console. It was in the homes of grandparents. The Switch is not like that. The Switch is not that casual platform that the Wii was. It's much more of a gamer platform. And I mentioned this in our chat earlier. Yesterday, I was unpacking from a trip and I was looking at all my Switch games. And when I saw 1-2 Switch, I realized, wait. They went through all this trouble to make these Joy-Cons super high tech, capable of doing so much except for not breaking after a year. And they haven't really used them outside of Breath of the Wild for like aiming your bow, which some people use. I didn't. I used the controller. And Arms, which was probably the best use of the Joy-Cons. So in a way, this isn't really surprising, but we all kind of thought Nintendo Labo would do well. It seemed like that would really appeal to a certain audience, and it really didn't. That came up short, and I think this is a similar idea. I just don't really think that Switch is in the household of people who are going to want to get this game. I can't do the one-to-one Wii Fit comparison because Wii Fit came out in an era where it really was set up to succeed on a platform that was perfect for it. Switch just isn't. Switch is a, it's a gamer's device. It's not an exercise machine.
Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, again, it's coming out next month, so it's definitely something to keep an eye on. And again, there's a n nice, massive press release talking about it. So it is more than we were describing. There's like apparently like 20 different worlds you can do, and there honestly is a quest that you can do, and all the different exercises that you get to participate in. There's fit skills. All right. So yeah. So if you're into that kind of thing, that's for you.
That's breaking news, by the way.
Awesome.
Oh.
Go for it.
Ring Fit Adventure character, the fifth DLC for Smash, guaranteed. Write it down. Not
Oh, that's
actually
not
breaking
breaking
news,
news. That's opinion,
just
and you know it.
an fake news opinion.
Oh,
But
fake news.
Sakurai, at least make her an alt for Wii Fit Trainer.
Oh, honestly, it would not be surprising if they actually did an alternate costume for Wii Fit Trainers,
Well,
but I
alternate
think that
costume
would
is one thing, but they will not make this whatever it is
Oh
a
no,
new
absolutely. That
character.
being said, you know what? She could have a moveset. You could do some cool things with that hula hoop.
I'm sure. Well, again, Wii Fit Trainer has a hula hoop,
Yeah.
so. All right, moving on to something that entices all of us here at NEP: Fire Emblem Three Houses. Yay! So the update many, including Tyler, have been waiting for has arrived in the lunatic mode. Oh, I'm sorry, maddening. Maddening mode
Yeah, that's
for.
kind of one thing I'm
What?
kind of
What? Why is
miffed
that? What the
about.
heck?
Yeah, I'm just kind of miffed at that. Like, why the heck would you want to break tradition? I mean, we have called it the lunatic for these past few games, and you want to change it to maddening? I mean, like, come on, why you want to break tradition, Nintendo? It's
I'm starting to
tradition.
understand why Will was on Team Order and not Chaos. No, because Lunatic is what they're going to call the fourth difficulty, which was data mine. That's my theory on it. Lunatic is going to be what they call next. Now, maybe they will just call it Infernal as they do in three in Heroes,
Heroes,
but
yeah.
I could see Lunatic being the hardest difficulty, and then Maddening being a step down. Although from what I've seen, the difficulty on this is super duper hard, and they did do something I didn't want them to do. They cut down experience gains. So in a way, it's great because it will well, it's different because you're not going to want to recruit every single student from every single house at this point because you're going to want to spend your time maximizing the crew that you have because there's I think from what I've read, it's half. Half the experience go around. Now, you leveled really, really quickly in Three Houses, and it made sense because you could recruit 24 units, and there was limited number of battles unless you were playing on normal. So you really couldn't, or you really, you couldn't just, you were capable, you were able to play everybody if you wanted to, basically.
Yeah.
But in Maddening, you have to have a plan for who you want to use. You have to plan it out day one, the second Rhea gives you the job. And roll with your crew, which I think is fun. There's going to be a nice story tie-in more there. You'll be fighting the other students more than you do if you're just recruiting everybody. So I could see the stakes being higher, and in a more intense game experience, I think that's probably a really good thing. On the flip side, it is inconvenient for the user who wants to play on a high difficulty but also wants to recruit every single student, because now you can't use everybody. You really have to use your crew of 12, and that's going to be it.
Yeah. Although it also should be noted that we did get new auxiliary maps, including ones that offer double the rewards for participating in them. So
yes,
a new challenge for all of you. And then
let me talk about the auxiliary maps for a second. They are a little disappointing because they are already maps that are in the game, and I thought we were getting brand new ones, but like there's the one that you do Linhart and Leonie's Paralogue that has now you can battle on that, but like they're existing maps. I thought they were going to do new ones, and they didn't. I still think that's coming in a future one, but I wish in this one.
Yeah, that's the 2021. The new auxiliary maps were just new places you could take the battle without all weren't already auxiliary maps, because the ones we had were just like three or four or five that like cycled.
Yeah, now it's better. It's definitely better, but it's still not ideal.
Yeah, it could be better. So, and then the other big change was that they did finally swap out the male Byleth voice actor. I haven't been able to experience that yet, but you know, it's interesting. They also, I noticed this on another site, they changed one of the lines from Bernadetta's support conversation. Make it less, what we want to call it, controversial,
dark.
Revealing.
Dark. They listened to NEP and they said this is too dark. I really was disappointed in this, and I was kind of trolling Will when I tweeted it. But it's true. They've made Bernadetta an even worse character than she already was. Like, that line of dialogue in her B support was gut-wrenching, where she talked about her dad is just straight-up abusive. She, like, says he made her sit in a room to be a good submissive wife. And the language that they used was really harsh, and it was visceral and upsetting, and you were like, wow, that really hurt. And now it's like, he wanted me to be a good wife, so he made me sit in my room. I think that's the exact quote. They took away all the power behind it.
They left the part where he tied her to her chair. Like, he tied her to a chair and he left her in a room to sit and be still. Like, that, they still kept that part.
And, because I've been basically kind of doing a bit of research when it popped, and, like, one of the arguments is basically, one, it is probably trying to, like, keep it as close to the original Japanese translation script, but on the other hand, like, in my opinion, it feels like, yeah, it does have that same message that Bernadetta's father tied her up in a chair, but it just doesn't feel as, like, again, as visceral or even as, like, adult matured when, like, dealing such a subject matter. I mean, in my opinion, I feel like they should have kept it as is, because again, war is war, and unfortunately these things does happen. So if you want to do a mature take on a story, you might as well like show like some matureness to this topic, which I feel like the original script does very well. So I don't know why they changed it. It's just like, that's kind of like, again, this is a fantasy dark thing. I mean, again, war is war. You can't erase the evils of war.
Well, I would argue that this wasn't about war at all. It was just about a dumb father trying to marry off his daughter and trying to make sure she was quote unquote perfect in his eyes so that he could get the best proposal possible. So that's just a fantasy thing. That's a fantasy set, fantasy as in the genre thing. So I don't know why they changed it. It's probably just people got their knickers in a bunch and all that, which happens so often in America.
I didn't see that from anyone. All I've seen is people like, why on earth did they change this? This was a good scene and they changed it.
It's just, all it takes is a few people, Tyler. You know that's how it works. Is a few people get everything in a bunch. Like the Joker movie.
No,
like,
but usually it has to be on the news or like in on Twitter. Blowing. I haven't seen this from any outlet at all. I think this came from Nintendo of America. I think Nintendo of America said that's too dark for Nintendo, and it stinks.
I don't know, but we can remember what it really was and all that, and it's clearly out there how it changed.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But if you are enjoying the new DLC, and there was a bug with the expansion pass that they fixed, so that was interesting.
Right.
But that's all. Go ahead.
Actually, as a tangent as well, because actually with that update, it also updated the entire Switch system as well, which now our Switch systems can now be a notification and alarm, which is quite interesting. Especially our Nintendo Pro controllers now have the use of the LED button, which is, I'm not sure anyone have noticed it.
I have not.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to actually play it since the update, so.
All right, moving on. We have the amusement park. That is Super Nintendo World. Ah! So Nintendo has officially revealed more about what is coming from the Super Nintendo World. The first, it will open next year, I believe. And when it does, it will have two rides to start. And yeah, here it goes. The first park is confirmed to open in Japan next spring. The first rides will be Mario Kart and Yoshi-themed rides. That will be a Phase 1. Phase 1. That sounds familiar. And so there will be other aspects to the park, including going to tour Peach's Castle. There's going to be restaurants, of course, and merchandise, among other things. And there's apparently going to have magnetic wristbands where you can keep score and play with the various games. So very interesting. So there's a nice big interview about all that. And, of course, more rides and features will come as the park is expanded. So hopefully it turns out well, and then we can get one in America so I can go to that, because I will.
It's just kind of like, I'm kind of jealous. Like, okay, we're getting some two rides. Okay, that's great. But the fact that, I don't know, bring it over here. I mean, I don't want to spend a plane ticket just over there. I mean, maybe that's not the reason why, but yeah. But
you
yeah,
would, Will.
Please. I mean, maybe. Again, that is definitely on my bucket list to go to Japan some of these days. That is still on my bucket list. So yes.
Same.
Who wouldn't? That would be sweet.
I would love to go there. I have a big plan of what I want to do when I go to if I ever go to Japan. And one of them is, of course, go to Shibuya because of The World Ends With You. Yeah, of course, I got to see the statue of Hachiko. I want to take a picture outside of Nintendo of Japan and various other things. And, of course, if there is Nintendo World, I'm totally going to go to that. So. Moving on, speaking of Japan, the Japanese Game Awards winners have been announced, and not surprisingly, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate took a lot of awards, including, but not limited to, the Minister of Economy, Trade, and Industry Award, the Global Award Japanese Product, the Best Sales Award, scrolling, Award for Excellence, and the Grand Award. They need to work on their titles. But apparently Japan loves Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Who would have thunk?
Yeah, we love it too. Obviously. Yep, hopefully, I'm curious if what they're going to do for this year's Game Awards, because technically it was a 2018 game. So I hope that they give it the respect it deserves. Sure, I'm positive there'll be a character announcement at the Game Awards again.
Oh, okay, I agree. To that point, perfect segue, the Game Awards have been announced for 2019, and it will be coming on December 12th, I think it was. Well, let me see. I have it right here. Where is it? No, not that one. December 12th this year, which is a Thursday. So we might have to delay the podcast just so we can watch the show.
Right. I used to scoff at the Game Awards. Like, I had no interest in it. But now I'm glued to it because it really has turned into a halfway E3 with just lots of great announcements, lots of games being showcased. It's really become a really good show.
Yeah, they yes, started out terribly, but Geoff Keighley molded it into something special. And last year especially, the last 2 years especially, because the 2017 show was really good with the musical acts and how they presented the games and all that. And of course, Zelda winning Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and plus Joker. Don't forget about Joker.
Oh, Joker, right, yeah. Him. Sorry, I was thinking about Joaquin Phoenix and Mark Hamill. I'm like, what?
I mean, Joker, when you say Joker, at this point, I think we're all thinking DC Joker.
Yeah, well, at the Game Awards a few years ago, because of Arkham City, which won Game of the Year, I believe, they gave Mark Hamill's Joker Character of the Year, and he actually voiced a whole acceptance scene, and it was hilarious. But so that's what had me thinking about not Joker persona, but yeah, that one is good. And that's a good question, Tyler, because technically they're celebrating the year of gaming beforehand, so you would think that technically Super Smash Bros. Ultimate would be allowed to be there, because it wasn't there last year, because it was literally the day after the show, so... I don't know. It's tricky, but we'll see. I definitely agree that they will totally announce a new Smash Brothers character. There's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind. The real question is, what else will Nintendo show? Because they should show Bayonetta 3, and because we don't know at present how much is coming out in 2020, that would be a perfect show to say, hey, here's what's coming out in 2020. So I guess we'll see. Then again, since, let's see, Terry Bogard is coming out in November, they usually like to announce, I guess that would line up to where they would announce the character and then he maybe come out in January, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky. We'll just have to see. But yeah, I expect big things from the Game Awards. So, yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. All right. Well, we already talked about Celeste because of Tyler, so thank you for that. And no, this is serious. I'm serious. I forgot that he actually played. I forgot it was out. So, because I didn't get to play the first one because Tyler owes me $20 and I'm still waiting on his review.
Right. Yeah, what happened to that review?
Wait for my review, and then you can decide whether you should buy it or not.
Yeah. Just remember to call it Celeste the Definitive Edition. All right. Moving on to something to look forward to. Actually, let's pause on that. Let's look forward to tomorrow, which is the release of Daemon X Machina. So the first wave of reviews came out for that, and they've been very, let's just call it middling. All right? Like, IGN gave it a 6.5 out of 10, which isn't bad, but it's not exactly good either. Eurogamer says it's a clanking Armored Core successor with certain quality points. Let's see. It's looking... Vice says it's a vibrant and colorful shooter. Goomba Stomp says, you know, beautifully bombastic action. You know, it's very conflicting. And then Video Game Chronicle says it's an uneven mech shooter. So it doesn't feel like it's hitting, like, all the right notes with people, unlike, say, like, Astral Chain or Fire Emblem Three Houses. Here's the basic reviews I'm seeing. Eurogamer says recommended Sixth Axis is 9 out of 10. COG Connect is 87 out of 100. That's a pretty good score. Nintendo Enthusiast, 8.5. Games Machine, 8.2. Spazio Games, 8. Multiplayer, It, Game, 8. Then we got 78, 7.8, 7.5, 7.5, 7.5, 7.3, 7.7, 4 out of 5, 6.5. That's IGN. Game Reactor gave it a 6. Nintendo World Report gave it a 6. Vandal, 6. Twinfinite, 3.5 out of 5. So it's getting very middling reviews at present.
Could you read a few more? I'm not totally getting the idea yet. Did it get like... Would you say middling reviews, or would you say...
I just said middling.
He just said middling. Yes.
I was kidding. It was a joke. I was being sarcastic. Anyway.
Such a joker. Moving on. But, see, most of the reviews agree that the game is beautiful style-wise. Like, the visuals are top-notch. Like, IGN praised the visuals of the game. And the gameplay is solid, but then it's uneven with the story... And although you can customize your mech infinitely, it doesn't live up to the potential, which is always the problem with an Armored Core game, which I know this isn't in the series, but I'm just saying it as an example. So I'm not totally surprised because this felt like a game that could be messed up in that kind of way. Like when I played the demo, I liked it, but I wasn't like sucked in like I have been with other things. So yeah, I'm curious how this will play out.
It's. I don't think I'm gonna get it because I'm curious. Honestly, if this game got like slightly better reviews, I think I would be less curious. But I wanna. I don't know. I mean, I've never played a game like this, and I wanna. I think I'm gonna check it out. Because I'm interested in it for science. You know, I don't think either of you guys are gonna get it, right? So
I am not.
And for me, I'll probably get it maybe once it's hitting the bargain bin. Like my take on it is basically, like the whole Armored Core division niche genre of like building your mechs, all that, is granted it has not really been, it's really like mainstream per se. I mean, it's always been a niche kind of genre. I mean, I kind of wish that Koopa Keep up there since he loves playing the Armored Core series. And I mean, the fact that you are like grinding for gears, like loot boxes a la Monster Hunter style, I think that's kind of like the main appeal of it. I mean, story-wise, so, like, it's pretty convoluted anime stuff, plot lines, which, granted, even with the whole trailer they released it not too long ago, it's like, okay, like, it's definitely that anime plot line you don't really get. It's almost like Kingdom Hearts plot line. It's, yeah.
Sorry, you can finish, Will.
It's definitely kind of like those. It's like definitely a mixed kind of genre. I mean, I really want this game to do well, but at the same time, I just kind of wonder, like, maybe it was just kind of like that in that bad time period, or this like wasn't as polished as it could be. I mean, even though they did say they took a lot of feedback, which is great on their part, but I just wonder if there was. Of course, there's always the one question of if they could do more.
Let me ask you guys a question. I'm torn right now because I want to get a new game. I'm definitely going to play Fire Emblem, and I know Link's Awakening is coming out. I'm getting that for sure when it releases. But should I get Daemon X Machina? Should I get Astral Chain? Should I get Spyro Remaster? Or should I get Yoshi's Crafted World? Or should I get Crash Team Racing? Those are five games that I really wanted to get that I haven't gotten yet, and I think they all came out this year. I am on the fence.
Technically, no. Technically, Crash and Spyro came out last year, but I digress.
Spyro definitely came out this month for Switch.
I meant that in the like the overarching text, you know, because it wasn't a Switch exclusive.
Right, yes, true.
Anyway, I would recommend Astral Chain because I think it's a more complete experience, and you could definitely get it done by next Friday when Link's Awakening gets out, depending on how much time you spend into it. But if you're looking for a more casual experience, one that you know you can put down when Link's Awakening comes out, I'd say go for Crash or Spyro. Or
Okay.
Yoshi, I suppose.
Yeah, and I also have this aching desire to go back to finish Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I hadn't finished that. And I
Talk.
wanted to get Okami when that came out, I guess last
Oh.
year. Like, I can't believe that came out a year ago. But I never played that, and that's another one that I want to play. There's like seven games on my buy list right now, and it's not great.
And more are coming.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
but
Yeah,
I
it's just odd, yeah.
yeah. Regardless, I'm interested to see how well Daemon X Machina sells because in this case, I don't like going on reviews because I want to make my own opinion. But I was already having concerns about Daemon X Machina, and so seeing the reviews saying it's kind of inconsistent, you know, if it makes me feel like if Astral Chain had gotten bad reviews, this is just full transparency. If Astral Chain had gotten bad reviews, I wouldn't have gotten it. But when I saw like IGN and all these other people saying it's like top-notch platinum, you're gonna love it, I knew I had to at least try it out. Kind of like you are with Daemon, Tyler, and I'm just like, okay, and I loved it. So, and I could love Daemon, I don't know, but I'd rather wait and just get Link's Awakening next week because I know I'm gonna like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, a new overview trailer has come out for Link's Awakening. And which is again coming out next week on the 20th, so definitely stay tuned for that. We'll be talking about that game a little bit more next week as we get ready to play it. And so, but if you've never played the original Link's Awakening on the Game Boy or the various ports that have happened later on, check out this trailer. It'll explain everything you need to know, and you'll be able to have a good heads up before the game comes out next week. So definitely check that out. And of course, we here at the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast are very excited for Link's Awakening. It was my first Zelda game, and it still resounds with me to this day. I even put a reference to the Windfish in one of the books I've written because I can. So, and I found out it's not something Nintendo could sue me over. So, moving on to a piece of news that I find appealing. Not that Zelda's not appealing, I'm just saying. Star Ocean First Departure R, a port of the first ever Star Ocean game, is officially dated for a Nintendo Switch release on December 5th, so a week before the Game Awards. So this was like this was the very first Star Ocean game that came out on the Super Famicom in Japan in 1996. Then it was ported over to the Abomination, I mean the PSP, in 2007.
The PSP was fine. You take that back. You leave the PSP alone.
Whatever. They tried and failed to get into the handheld market. That's just the way it is. So, but it was made for the PSP in 2007, and now it's being ported over to the PS4 and the Nintendo Switch. It's not going the Link's Awakening approach with like, you know, revitalized graphics. It's still very much sprite based. But for those who have not, like me, who have not been able to play the original, Star Ocean game, this will definitely be for you. And it looks like Octopath Traveler in a way. You know, it's very old school RPG, slightly upgraded graphics. They say if they have newly balanced fighting mechanics, etc., etc. So if you haven't been able to play that game, go and check it out. And it's got an all-star voice cast, including Yuri Lowenthal, who you would know for as Spider-Man, among other things. So, from the Spider-Man PS4 game. So, I'm looking forward to this. Star Ocean Till the End of Time is one of my favorite RPGs of all time. And it's honestly the only Star Ocean game I've ever played, because all the others either I couldn't get or were on another console that I didn't have. So this will be a fun experience for me in Potentia.
I mean, the only thing I just kind of like, no doubt about this game kind of is the same old one. So I'm just hoping for that Welch cameo, just waiting for that cameo to be in the game. You know which character I'm talking about, right, Todd? The Welch? I think that's her name.
Say it again.
Welch. The one who usually carries that pointer stick. I mean, I remember Welch as like kind of a running gag cameo character in the Star Ocean games.
I don't remember.
Nah.
So, anyway. But again, if you're looking forward to if you've never played the original Star Ocean, try it out. And I'm definitely probably going to get it. Especially since right now, Nintendo's got no games in December. So, at least no meaningful ones. So, that'll fill my void after I'm done with Pokemon. Hopefully. So, we'll see. Alright, so as we've been noting the last week or so, Nintendo is in a very interesting position gaming-wise. Because they've still got a packed 2019 to go. We got Daemon X Machina tomorrow, at the time of this recording. We got Link's Awakening, Small Town Hero, Pokemon Sword, or Luigi's Mansion 3, Pokemon Sword and Shield, and you know, a couple other third-party games sprinkled throughout. So their 2019 is stacked. And then after that, we only know of three big games coming out that are Switch exclusives. We know about Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Sharp Encore, or however you want to say it. I don't care, guys. Just
Tokyo
stop it.
Mirage Sessions Sharp FE
Encore. See. And then, so that's coming out in January. We know about Animal Crossing New Horizons in March. And then sometime in 2020, we're going to get the Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, the prequel to the best RPG. You can't, because you know
deep down.
No,
that's your greatest
regret
in life, was giving that game a good score.
No,
a 4.5 out of 5.
I can't say it because I don't think it's the best RPG on Switch. I would honestly say it's either Mario Rabbids or it's Octopath Traveler. I would say Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is close to that, but I don't think it's the best RPG on Switch.
You would put Xenoblade Chronicles 2 above Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Oh, Fire Emblem Three Houses. Obviously. No, never mind. Fire Emblem Three Houses is the top. But Octopath Traveler and Rabbids is like really close to that, and then just under them is Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I loved that game. Tyler's, well, we all know what Tyler is. But anyway.
Right.
So,
Xenoblade
Chronicles.
We all do know.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Anyway, remember who's the host here. So Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition is coming sometime in 2020. We don't know anything outside of that. Like, full stop. We know a few third-party games, like Trials of Mana, that's coming out in, I think, April or something like that. But, like, first-party-wise, Nintendo is kind of a blank slate in 2020 so far. Which is why we're hoping that the Game Awards and hopefully another Nintendo Direct maybe around November or October, no, I wouldn't judge, helps shine some light on what's coming up in 2020. But, of course, we got time now, so let's do some predictions in a Nintendo discussion. Alright, so what I want us to do is I want us to pick either a game specifically that we would hope gets made, or a franchise that we hope gets either the limelight or a chance at a game in 2020. Tyler, let's start with you.
I'd like to post a quick addendum to those terms. Will, you cannot say F-Zero.
I was about to say Skies of Arcadia, but okay.
You can't say that either.
Yep, you can't say that either. Okay.
Fine, but you can't say Earthbound, Tyler.
Why would I say Earthbound? I've already given up, Todd. I've already given up on Earthbound.
Which proves you're not really a fan.
I would say the game that I really want to see return is Donkey Kong Country. Tropical Freeze. Again, when I was going through my Switch collection, I was inspired by some of these titles, and that's just one of the greatest platformers ever made. So I really hope that we see another Donkey Kong Country Returns game to complete that trilogy. I don't expect to see that, but I certainly hope that we do, just knowing that Retro is busy with Metroid Prime 3 or 4.
Or?
I corrected myself.
You said it with a question mark. You were like, 3, 4?
No, I was just embarrassed that I said 3. That was just that. You were hearing
Should be
some
embarrassed.
Shame. You were catching some shame there. Anyway, yeah, so I doubt that Donkey Kong will come back, but I certainly hope that it does. I do think that we could see either an Octopath Traveler sequel or Bravely Third for Switch, though. Octopath Traveler sold well. I would expect that Square is interested in continuing to make games exclusively for Switch based off of how well Octopath did. So that's something I think we could actually see come out maybe in the same summer spot, maybe in the later half of the year. I'm a little disheartened by the fact that, again, we're going to have a slow start to the year. Just like this year, it didn't really pick up until Mario Maker 2 in June. But Tokyo Mirage Session Sharp FE is going to be a nice title, so I'll pick that one up anyway. But I'm expecting a couple of nice surprises in the second half of the year, although it looks like we're in for a slow start.
All you will.
All right. And don't worry, I won't say Skies Rock. Yeah, no, I just did. But
or F-Zero. Way,
or F-Zero.
Or F-Zero. But yeah, like for my like look ahead in 2020, I mean, don't
or
think that's a lot
Conqueror
of...
Or Peach Ball.
It's already out. I mean, I would love to have a sequel, but again, Kenichiro Tanaka's not in the company anymore, so that's kind of sad. But I digress. Either way, regarding to like what I'm looking for in 2020, I mean, of course, a lot of people are just basically wondering, when are we going to get more info on Shin Megami Tensei 5? We haven't heard anything in like a whole year now, almost, it feels like. And all we just heard is the game is in current development. They're hard at work at it. But heck, I would be very happy if we got another teaser trailer. Anything to help us. I mean, it's pretty much becoming a running meme now that, where is Shin Megami Tensei 5? Alice, have you forgotten about this property? I mean, you got Tsukuba Mirage Sessions Encore and then everything else. But you forgot about Shin Megami Tensei? I mean, please, throw us a bone here. So,
that's
yeah,
a great one. I'm glad we put these rules on you because you come up with a great answer.
Oh, jeez, thanks. Shin Megami Tensei 5 is definitely one I want to hear more about. Even another teaser trailer would suffice. But in regards to like something that of 2020, it just feels like my hope is one is regarding to probably more, if possible, a solid Persona series title. And no, I'm not talking Persona 5 Scramble from Koei Tecmo, which they hinted is going to be coming out in 2020, which is great, but we need to see more gameplay or anything at all about it. But it would be very interesting if like Sony would actually play nice and allow some IPs come over to Nintendo Switch. So I don't know, even Persona or even like the Etrian Odyssey, something of that sort. Hell, I'd be very happy if they bring in Yakuza, which they have done in the Wii U, so why not bring it over here? That would work. So the Yakuza series, something of that sort. I mean, Sega has been very nice with Nintendo now, so, and Xbox, so how about play some ball now? Sega, be free with licenses. I don't know, Shenmue, all that, all these different IPs you're sitting on top of. And don't worry, I'm not going to say Disguise's word. But yeah, you're sitting a whole lot of IP, Sega. Please, let's Nintendo have some, and maybe we can do a revival of some sorts. Something of that along those lines. So yeah, like all these possible IPs from Xbox or Sega or even Sony, like if anybody is willing to offer those IPs to Nintendo, I feel like, yeah, it's just a moneymaker right there.
As we've noticed this in the past, we noted it in the past that we can't have a 2017, all right, I would even go even a 2019 every single year. It's just impossible. You know, 2018 was slightly slower, but it worked out, because again, we got Smash Brothers and I just totally blanked out. What came out in 2018? I don't even remember. See, Smash Brothers just covers everything, doesn't it?
It was the only year. It was the Smash year, yes.
It was the year of Smash Brothers. So
Octopath came out 2018.
Octopath, yes, that was great. Yes, yes.
There was Mario Tennis came out in 2018.
That was big.
There was another one that came out in July that was fairly big, but I can't remember it off the top of my head.
That was Octopath.
Fire Emblem Warriors? Fire Emblem Warriors?
Was that 2017?
That was 2017.
Oh, yeah, right. Right.
Anyway, but the point is, you know,
Kirby Star Allies.
Okay, that was March. I remember that. But anyway, so you know, we can't. It's very likely that we're going to have more of a down year in 2020, which is ironic because of the numbering of the year. But that doesn't mean we won't get quality titles. And what I mean by that is, obviously, we're going to get, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles. But why did they show us Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition? I think it's because they realized that, you know, it would attract new gamers because it was a cult classic on the Wii, and then it was only available to certain people on the 3DS, and this was the time to, you know, to do it. So we'll just have to, you know, it could be the next big thing. And or it could be like a revitalizing of a great thing, you know. But in terms of what we could get new wise, like truly new, I do agree, Tyler, that we're probably going to get something from Square Enix, because they confirmed after Octopath sold over 1 million copies that they are going to be working on something else. They're already working on either the sequel, which is supposed we're supposed to get that prequel, remember, on mobile. I don't know if you've heard anything else about that.
Yeah, I think there was some music track that was released today for it.
Yeah, so you know there was that, and oh, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, that came out last year.
That did.
Oh, then, yeah.
Yep. Right. So there was. I'm looking at a list as I'm watching over this all, but
Oh, so you're cheating?
Of course I am.
Mario Party came out last year in October.
That was it. I knew there was something. Mario Party. Super Mario Party. Remember, Super makes everything better, Tyler.
It's 100% true.
Is 100% true. Also, there was this game called Celeste that came out in 2018 on Switch. I don't know.
True.
So.
And Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Tropical Freeze, right. There was a lot of ports last year. I remember that. And then, like, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Now we remember them all. That's the other July one I was thinking of. Bayonetta 1 and 2 came out in February.
Yeah. Right.
We know our stuff.
Yeah, it was a very, very much a port year, which isn't bad, but I'm hoping that's not the case with 2020, which we're already off to an interesting start because of Tokyo Mirage Sessions, FE, Sharp, Encore. And Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. I do hope we get an Octopath Traveler and or Bravely Default sequel. I mean, especially if they do both in the same year. Imagine that, like having one in the spring, one in the fall, plenty of time in between. Donkey Kong, I do agree, would be a good choice if for no other reason that it would finally let us see what the heck Retro has been working on for the last however many years. Because again, they didn't get the word on Metroid until last year. So they've been working on something.
Yes.
And there's still the chances for, again, a new IP. Because, you know, a lot of teams, like the Splatoon team, they're not working on Splatoon 3. They took a break from that. So what if they say, hey, what if we do in the meantime? Let's make a new game. And, of course, we had Game Freak make Little Town Hero. I just looked that up. It was Little Town, not Small Town. I apologize. You know, and that's coming out in a month. So maybe another developer is going to step up and say, hey, let's make this new IP for the Switch, and it would be great. This would be a perfect year if it's going to be port-heavy, because it'll bring more attention to them and not take away from the other titles, because it would have been, you know, a little bit spaced out. But then, of course, as the Switch has done the last 3 years, they have had big titles in October, November, December area between Mario Odyssey, Pokemon, Let's Go, and now the main titles, Smash Brothers, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which again sold over 1.5 million titles, Tyler, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they need a killer app, and I don't know why. Okay, maybe I do know why, but my mind just floats to Mario. Because we've had a Mario title every year in some capacity. We've had Mario Odyssey. We've had Mario Kart Deluxe. We've had New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. We've had Super Mario Party. We've had Super Mario Tennis Aces. And something just tells me that this next year... Oh yeah, Mario and Rabbids, of course. You know, that's a lot of Switch titles for Mario. I didn't realize it until now. But that's a lot of Mario titles on Switch anyway. So now, though, would be the perfect time for a brand new, not a port, a brand new 2D Mario title. You know, because it's going to take at least another year or two to if they wanted to surpass Odyssey, which is already a tall order. But with a 2D title, you go back to basics, certain power-ups, maybe in a slightly different storyline than Bowser kidnapping Peach again. You know, something simple, something basic, but then it would be still very quality, and it would be something fresh and new. So that would honestly be my guess. Or there is another franchise that is very fast-paced. It has many beloved characters, one of which has an association with fire, and could be a title coming back. I'm talking, of course, of Star Fox. So I was going F-Zero, didn't you, Tyler? No, I'm talking about Star Fox. Star Fox has been out of action since Star Fox Zero, and it deserves a well-deserved reboot. So maybe we can finally get a Star Fox title of quality again. You never know.
We definitely are going to have to get at least two really big first-party titles. I believe every year we've gotten at least two that you're like, okay, that's a significant launch. And I think Breath of the Wild 2 might be able to slide into the later part of the year. I mean, that might be a pipe dream, but I do agree with you that a Mario title would certainly qualify. I don't think that we'd see another 2D Mario because of Mario Maker. I feel Mario Maker.
See, there's another one.
Yeah. I feel that Mario Maker already has that ground kind of covered, and Nintendo might want to let that game breathe for a while more, because that's definitely an evergreen title that will be selling for a long time.
Agreed.
I could definitely see an Odyssey 2 thing, because just the fact that they didn't release DLC for that game is so sus. And
well, they did, though. They remember they had the Luigi mode.
That's
there's
true.
More updates, like a free update mode. Yes.
I'm talking about a robust new world, new moons to collect. That never happened. They added Luigi's Balloon World, true. But I'm talking about more true sequel content. I figured that would happen. I think everybody assumed that it would. It seemed like a natural fit, and it just never came. Which to me implies that they probably were saving ideas for a sequel, a la Galaxy 2. And that could come next year.
Possibly. Right. Like either Galaxy 2 or Super Mario Sunshine 2, quote unquote. Yeah, I was kind of going for that.
I would be stunned if we didn't see a 3D Mario title at E3 next year.
It's really hard to predict because Nintendo's been so good so far with, and it honestly actually worked out in their favor that Animal Crossing got delayed. Because it might have actually gotten, sandwiched between all these other great titles, even if they released it in December. And now it's, in March, which will be, likely the first true, really good exclusive to the Switch. And I'm okay with that, because that game will sell like hotcakes. That'll be an evergreen title. You know, they've never, outside of the spin-off games, they've never done a true Animal Crossing game wrong. I said an animal game? I could make so many jokes here, but I won't. But, a pure Animal Crossing game, they've never screwed up. And that one will sell well. And it'll lead up to probably the drought until E3 comes around, where we get, all the release dates for the titles. And it's really hard to predict. But I hope that we get at least one new IP. A couple key third-party exclusives, which they've been doing very well at recently, especially with Platinum and Square and even Marvel.
And Sega.
Sega. Oh, and Capcom. Where's my Phoenix Wright, Capcom? Where is it? I will not give up, just like I won't give up on Skies of Arcadia. It's going to happen. So, or Baten Kaitos 3, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
that's not happening, but I gotta try. So it's very, it's just this weird position we're in, guys, because it's like, why didn't they announce more for 2020 in the last Direct? Are they really saving it for, like, a pre-Game Awards Direct where they just, blow the roof off of everything after Pokemon comes out and they say, hey, here's what you can expect next year. I don't know. And that's really got me wondering what's coming out. Like, will it be more of a down year, kind of like what we had in 2018, which was more of a port year than anything else? Or will we have, an equal amount of ports and new titles? It's really hard to predict.
I expect next year to be similar to this year, honestly. It's a very similar strategy. They release a port in January, and then they release a nice first-party title in March, and then we get a Direct in March that kind of outlines the bigger plans for the rest of the year. And I think that we'll see some bigger titles in those. And I'm still believing that the Metroid Prime, they'll do a Metroid Prime trilogy at some point, and that
some
will
point.
Slide into a month as a big release. And that could be next year, that could be 2021, just depending on when Prime 4 is coming out.
2021 at least.
I'm not disheartened by the fact that we didn't get a ton of 2020 stuff in the last Direct, because the 2018 September Direct, in my opinion, was far more empty than this one was. We got some nice stuff in this, and we had a ridiculous 2019. So I'm expecting to see good stuff in 2020.
Yeah.
2020. It's just going to come in a Direct either in January or in March.
It's definitely going to be in that. I feel like that's going to be in similar patterns, because I feel like Nintendo has learned it from their mistakes from the like that first 2 years of the Nintendo Switch. The first year, amazing. Second year is basically a half year rest year. But now, like, they're really picking up again, so maybe they're trying to, like, keep that momentum going. Like, sure, it may not be as, like, prominent as, like, if it's Maiden Voyage year, but, like, now, like, again, Animal Crossing in the first season, then probably next have another big title for each particular season instead of, like, not actually every month. But I would be happy if they have, like, a very, like, killer app in for every particular season. So I feel like Nintendo has learned a lesson here.
We'll just have to see. And so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler?
Yes, last week we asked you a critical question.
Which you don't have up.
No, well, it was abrupt in my defense. You know, I didn't have enough time to bring it up. Maybe if you would give
you
me
had
a little...
whole podcast. Don't
some heads up. What was your favorite announcement of the Nintendo Direct? 57% of you said Smash Bros. Content. Not surprising. 0% said Overwatch release. 43%
really?
Said Xenoblade Remaster. And 0% said the day and date releases. So, or the, you know, shadow releases, whatever you call them.
Oh,
games that
drops.
Got released on 9/4.
Shadow drops.
We didn't have a lot of votes, did we?
No, we didn't have a ton of votes. Not a ton of votes. But there were votes.
There were votes, and that's what matters. And honestly, we all expected the Smash Brothers content to win out. I mean, Smash Brothers, gosh dang it.
Exactly.
All right, so keep it really simple. What big franchise do you want to get a main title in 2020? Mario, Donkey Kong, Star Fox, or new IP? We'll see what you say, and then we'll let you know the results next week. And, of course, let us know what you think on everything that's been happening in the world of Nintendo. Are you happy with the August NPD numbers? Have you been enjoying Astral Chain? Do let us know. Are you going to be trying out Fire Emblem's Maddening difficulty? Are you excited for the Game Awards? What do you think about Celeste Chapter 9? And will Tyler ever get that review done? News at 11. And, of course, are you going to get Daemon X Machina and or Link's Awakening when it comes out tomorrow and or next week? Do let us know. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.